श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपदा श्याम कुंद राधा पद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवद्वीप धाम की जय गौ शमन तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जय अनंत गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गोप नंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समर ग्लोरीज 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 ऑल नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Asma, therefore, svastena, careful, manasa, mind, vimrsha, considering, gatim, real position, atmana, of yourself, vaite, in the duality, dhruva, permanence, artha, object, vishramam, belief, tyaja, give up, upasama, peaceful condition, Avisha, take two. Translation, therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you're going after this body, and why you're under the control of material domination. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You'll be able to give up the belief that this material world, anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna, is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace. For a part, the Krishna conscious movement is actually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable sinful activities and becoming increasingly entangled. Krishna conscious movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself towards the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of the goal of life. They are working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material conditions everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights you will be able to see the Lord face to face. My dear king, in former days Lord Shiva and the demigods took shelter at the lotus feet of Sankarsana. Thus, they immediately got free from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position." Thus end the Bhagavad-gita purport of 16 of the 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam taught to Saint Narada and Angira instruct King Chitraketu. Translation: therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atman. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind, or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are really controlled by material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way, and then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that the material world or anything directly in touch with the service to Krishna is eternal. Thus you will obtain peace. So this is the conclusion of this section about the instructions of Narada and Angira to King Chitraketu. The next chapter deals with getting the mantra and instructions from the dead son, etc. So, as Prabhupada mentions here, the idea that you're not the body, but you're a soul, and the soul is eternal, and everything in relation to the material body is temporary, is one type of knowledge, which is very necessary for spiritual development. Though it is not the only knowledge, it's not complete knowledge, it is part of the knowledge that is instructed in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So most people have very great difficulty even accepting this first step. Though it is mentioned in scriptures, still people find it difficult to accept this if they don't have faith in the scriptures. So first they have to trust the statements of the scripture, and then they can proceed on the spiritual path. So without that knowledge, it would be very difficult to solve the problems of material life. This is exactly the situation of Chitraketu. He is in lamentation. We'll find Arjuna was also in lamentation. And similarly, we'll find other persons in lamentation. And the only solution is that they have an understanding of their real identity and that not the material body. So that is one first step, the understanding part. After the understanding, then there comes a practice to realize you're not the body, but you're the Atma, etc. And that comes with jnana and yoga. But unfortunately, these processes are a little difficult for most people to follow. So particularly people in the lower modes of nature cannot practice these things. They may have some understanding that you're not the body or the soul, but at the same time, to begin practicing and realizing, they will have to wait until they come to Sattva-guna before they can do that. So this is a rather long process of getting to this level. And then after discovering that you're not the body and realizing you're the Atma, still, that's not complete. One must also realize the Supreme Lord after that. So it is unfortunate that some people make the endeavor to realize their Atma, and after achieving that, they don't go any further. They stop at that point. So that's a great misfortune. It's misfortunate because if we look carefully in the Bhagavatam and other literatures, we'll find that it is obvious that simply understanding you're not the body is not the final goal. We have to also understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So this is mentioned in the scripture very clearly, but unfortunately people people don't have that knowledge. So therefore, we must depend on Scripture to get our proper knowledge. But even if we accept Scripture, we also have to take the whole, not simply take part of it. And we have to understand the conclusion, not some temporary statement in the Scriptures. So Scripture is the basis, but at the same time, we also have to get the proper understanding of the Scriptures. So there will be a debate, which is better, this interpretation or that interpretation. That can be eliminated to some degree by at first accepting all of the Scriptures and correlating all the information, and then seeing what is the actual intention of everything. So that, of course, is a little difficult to do for most people. So the Brahma Sutras, this is what it does. It actually takes all the different statements which seem to be contradictory, and then it comes to a conclusion. What is the conclusion of the Upanishads? And what is a proper conclusion and what is an improper conclusion? So, of course, other philosophies also accept the Vedas, like Samkhya and Nyayika and Vaisheshika philosophies. They accept the Vedas, but they come to a different conclusion. So it is improper to say everything is right. We have contrary conclusions, and we cannot say everything is right. The Vedas shouldn't have contrary conclusions. They should only have one conclusion. If they say matter is supreme or Atma is supreme, and they don't say that Bhagavan is supreme, there's a contradiction. So we must have one conclusion: who is supreme, what is supreme process, not many conclusions. So, therefore, all of these different ideas ultimately get rejected. So this is what Vedavyasa does in the Brahma Sutras. He rejects all these other philosophies, even if they are Vedic. They are misunderstandings. So he rejects Karma Mimamsa, he rejects Patanjali's yoga system, Samkhya, Nyayika, and Vaisheshika philosophies as being wrong. Of course, he also rejects philosophies which are not Vedic, like Buddhist and Jain and Charvaka philosophy. But even if they're Vedic, he also rejects those philosophies because wrong conclusion is there. So simply accepting the Vedas is not very good if you come to the wrong conclusion. We have to come to the correct conclusion also. So, after discarding all the wrong philosophies, the Brahma Sutras comes to the conclusion that there is one supreme entity, that is that Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, who may be in the form of Krishna or Vishnu or Rama. So we don't have conflicting ideas about Jiva as supreme, or Prakriti supreme, or Shiva supreme, or Ganesha supreme, or Durga supreme. All of these are rejected completely. So, of course, some people may not accept that. They say, oh, I like this Shastra, or I like that Shastra. But one may prefer a certain Shastra, but at the same time, we have to see what is the conclusion of Shastras. Then it becomes valuable. So, unfortunately, people cannot go through all that trouble, going through all the Scriptures. And even to study the Brahma Sutras is very difficult for most people because it's highly philosophical and intellectual work. So, that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you accept the Bhagavatam. This is the natural explanation of the Brahma Sutras. Which means that ultimately Bhagavatam explains what is the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. And it gets rid of all the contrary statements. It gives us only the final conclusion of everything. So therefore we do not have to study all these other works. We simply have to take the conclusion of Bhagavatam. So that makes the work simpler. We don't have to go to other scriptures and read everything first and then do a conclusion. Just go to Bhagavatam and accept the conclusion. So therefore Bhagavatam becomes our primary work, our primary scripture from which we draw our conclusions. Unfortunately, even people can take Bhagavatam and come up with wrong conclusions. Because there's so many different statements there. So, Therefore, we do need to very carefully study the Bhagavatam and get rid of all the contrary statements and come up with a proper conclusion again. So sometimes self-realization is glorified as here, but we should not take this and isolate this and say that's the ultimate goal, just realize I'm not the body, I'm the soul. We also have to understand that later on there are higher instructions as well. So in this way we have to see the final conclusion of the scriptures. In this particular case we find that Chitraketu worships Sankarsana, which is a form of the Lord, a Vishnu form of the Lord. And that is his success. He gets that realization ultimately. In a few weeks' time he's able to see Sankarsana by chanting a certain mantra, which indicates that he was in the very highest position spiritually, because it only took 2 weeks to get his perfection and meet the Lord and speak to the Lord. However, even this, from one point of view, is not complete, because the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is to show that Krishna is the object of worship, not Sankarsan or Vasudeva or anybody else, but Krishna. And that, of course, is mentioned in other places in the Bhagavatam, including the 10th canto. But the ultimate form of Supreme Lord is Krishna, and he is the object of worship for the people in Kali Yuga. So, we have several levels of knowledge. One is you're not the body, you're this Atma. This is one level. We go a little higher and understand Paramatma. And there's a Paramatma, and there's also an Atma, and the Paramatma, and the Paramatma controls the Atma. Then there's another higher level, the Bhagavan, is a higher realization of Supreme Lord. And then we get a higher level still. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the object who should be worshipped most of all, among all the forms of Bhagavan. So we can't stop at one level of knowledge. We have to go to the higher and higher and higher until we get to the highest position of knowledge. So that, of course, is also made very clear in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam begins by saying this gives the ultimate, highest fruit, the sweetest fruit on the tree of the Vedic knowledge. So the result of Bhagavatam is the highest. It gives the highest result. So what is that highest result? Of course, is the realization of Krishna. So, therefore, all the other factors in the Bhagavatam are partial knowledge, but necessary parts of knowledge also. If we're going to accept the existence of the Supreme Lord, we also have to accept the existence of the soul. We can't reject the soul and say only Bhagavan exists and the soul doesn't exist. We have to accept the existence of the soul also. We have to admit the existence, real existence of Prakriti, etc. We have to admit other things. So, we shouldn't stop part way and just accept part of the knowledge, which is that complete knowledge, and get to the final conclusion. So, we accept, finally, that Krishna is the highest entity. Then, we also have to accept the existence of our position in relation to Supreme Lord. So the general position is that we are eternally dasa, we are eternally dependent servants of the Lord. That's our nature, common nature of all jivas. And then, of course, our relationship is established with the form of God, but then the highest form is Krishna. So therefore, we worship Krishna. And unfortunately, our position in this material world is that we are covered. So therefore, the worship does not go on perfectly, and we don't get the proper experience of bliss. So we have to do sadhana in order to get rid of all those coverings and manifest our relationship with the Lord. So we have processes. We have karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga. But of those processes, the direct process of bhakti is considered to be the best, not going through indirect processes which are much slower. So therefore, we do the process of bhakti. And in bhakti, there are many methods. There's hearing and chanting, remembering and serving the lotus feet, and sakyam and dasyam and atmi nivedam, etc. There are many types of bhakti. But it's explained in 11th canto that in Kali Yuga, the method recommended is Nam Sankirtan, chanting the name of the Lord. So that is the process of bhakti. That's how we worship the Supreme Lord, by chanting his name. So there are many statements in Bhagavatam also, but we have to come see what is the conclusion. We have to see the conclusion in terms of who is the highest form of Bhagavan. We have to come to the conclusion, what is the highest process of worship in, and then in bhakti, what is the highest, best process in bhakti itself. So that requires a little bit of study and intelligence to see what is the real message of the Bhagavatam. So finally, of course, the message is very simple. It's not very complicated at all. But we have to go through the Bhagavatam and discover that that is the actual conclusion. It is not difficult because in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself it states, at the end of the Bhagavatam it also states the same thing. And throughout the Bhagavatam we have similar messages. So it is not difficult to catch that particular message. So therefore we take all everything else in the Bhagavatam as in relation to Krishna as the supreme entity, and bhakti as the supreme process, with chanting as the main element there. Everything else is in relation to that, so all knowledge is in relation to that. Our knowledge of Atman, separate from body, is in relation to understanding Krishna. Yeah. And this type of jnana is in relation to bhakti. So we have all types of knowledge here, but we have to relate it to our highest goal, and then it becomes proper knowledge. Well, he got special mantra and he got mercy of Narada Muni, so he was able to do that. Most people cannot do that, which means they haven't got Narada Muni's special mercy. And they're not that advanced, so therefore they have to do a slower process. But he was obviously very special, and he got the mercy of Narada Muni, so therefore he advanced very quickly. Just as Dhruva got the mercy of Narada, and in a few months also he was able to see the Lord. Or Murugari the hunter got the mercy of Narada Muni, in 3 months he got Bhava. So by the mercy of great devotees, very quickly one could advance. But if we don't get that great mercy, then we have to, instead of Kripa City, we have to go through the process of Sadhana City. That is, do our sadhana, and through that get perfection. General name of God, that's all. And then he has no form and no quality, so it's like Brahman, impersonal realization. If they properly do the worship, yeah. Quran, it says that? Oh, I see. Okay. If so, but which name are they uttering? If it's only greatness, it's not so sweet.